Thank you, Christine. Hello, congregation, again. God's commandments are all about love. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second commandment?
Love your neighbor
as yourself. Praying for our neighbors. I'm going to share a few thoughts about praying for our neighbours. There's a lovely street. Do you fancy living in a street like that? Looks nice on the outside, doesn't it? I know nothing about what's inside. I'm going to talk about praying for our neighbours. And we're going to do a reading together, back to the beginning of the book of Acts. And let's read this all together. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And I want to highlight Acts 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And you notice the second part of that verse. It talks about being witnesses, starting off in our hometown, which in our case is Swindon, in their case was Jerusalem. And Samaria, which is the country next door, and to the ends of the earth, which is quite a long way away. How many ends has the earth got?
Four
ends, yeah.
Top end and a bottom end.
There's a top and a bottom and a bit of a middle. Neighbourhood prayer. Some while ago an initiative was started, actually in 2012, in Wembley Stadium, and it set off an initiative for people to pray for their neighbours and pray for their streets. You can click on neighbourhoodprayer.net to find out more about it. Ah, I forgot one of my most important props. It was a pile of 17 books. Love Your Neighbour. Each one is a workbook. I was going to give it to people who expressed interest. So we'll have to do that on a subsequent Sunday. It was published for 12 years ago, and I had to go online and get about 8 different suppliers. One of them gave me one, someone gave me two, and someone gave me 3. It's a lovely book that Christine and I both became quite enthusiastic about all sorts of practical ideas for being a blessing in your street. And I know some of you are already an enormous blessing in your street, but it's an encouragement to all of us to have new ideas. There we are, National Day of Prayer and Worship at Wembley Stadium. I think that's a better use for a football stadium, but I'm willing to be overruled. Neighbourhood Prayer Network. The vision is to call Christians to look how they can pray and care and share the gospel as appropriate in their neighbourhoods. According to 2011 stats, there are 260,000 streets in the UK. 250,000 streets. There's probably a few more now. How many of those streets have got someone who's committed to pray? Well, more than 5,600 streets in the United Kingdom have got someone who has signed up saying, I'm going to pray for my street. And I did that recently, so I've got to try and remember to pray for my street. We'll talk more about my street in a minute. Adopt a street. What about adopting the street that you live in? Initiative's been used around the world. When that happens, crime rates fall when people start praying for their street. And there's an impact on drug use, aggressive behaviour, family breakdown, and the general suffering of people in the street. And there's lots of testimonies available. Luke 10 verse 5 says, when you enter a house, what's the first thing you should say? Well, perhaps in context, this was when Jesus was sending his disciples out on a mission. It's good to make sure that there's someone there, and as you go in, say peace to this house. How many of us have got the courage to go into someone's house and say peace to this house? It's actually more of us are starting to do that and actually believe that God can speak through our words. He's given us authority to bring peace. Use your spiritual authority. A house near you. You know, there's all sorts of houses in our own street. We've got about 35 houses in our street. And some of them are houses of grief or fear. Some of them are houses of captivity to maybe addiction or sickness. Actually, I learned something positive about alcohol recently. For chemists, alcohol is not a problem, it's a solution. Now Barry gets that one. Alcohol is something that they dissolve lots of things in, so it's a solution. A house where someone is feeling rejected or lonely. A house, but there are alternatives. Your house could become one of these. A house of hope, a house of love, a house of hospitality, a house of faith, a house of prayer, a house of blessing, a house of healing. Our own street. Now there's John Herring Crescent. You see that wiggly, broken dog leg street. And right here is our house with our diamond-shaped garden. And a cul-de-sac at the end. And a little pathway to the pond at the top of the picture. And we love walking to the pond and walking around the pond and not feeding the ducks. There's a sign that says, please don't feed the ducks. So we don't. Christine and I, what do? We pray very sporadically. Sometimes we've walked along. It's a bit embarrassing. I don't do it too frequently because you walk to the end of the street and then you sort of walk back again. People start to wonder what you're doing. But we can at least walk to the little pathway and direct some prayers at the end of the street and then walk back. So praying. How many of you have prayed along your own street? Well, I'm not counting hands or scoring marks, but good idea. Could pray. Just as you walk, pray for each house as you pass, the people in it. We've been inviting our neighbours to tea for the last 20 years or so.
sporadically
on and off. We have an excuse at Easter to offer hot cross buns, which we will be doing on Saturday, Easter Saturday, and an excuse at Christmas to offer mince pies. And a small sprinkling of neighbours come, usually the one opposite, the one next door, and sometimes two or three from further down the road. And some of you will know that Christine delivers calendars. She knocks on the door. You know, the sort of bit like the Keswick block, but it's not a chunky one. It's got a text for each day of the year, one day for each month. So I get those online, about £1 each. And Christine has done it with Crispin and with Keith and with Gary and with Tammy. So four people. And with John. So a number of people in our fellowship have practiced. I mean, if you're not confident, do it with someone like Christine who knows what to say. And they forgive her because she's Swiss. She can say anything. What else? Anyone else do anything on their street? I'm sure some of you. I know Susan and Keith do all sorts of stuff.
During Easter in lockdown, we gave a bunch of daffodils to the street.
Bunch of daffodils at Easter. Yeah. And I think street parties, I think Crispin and Jenny, you've been involved in street party, am I right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Any other initiatives on a street basis? Well, there's some ideas. Yeah, Christine?
There are the street pastors. Come on.
We will come to that.
There will be streets.
We will come to that. So, think. Yes, Tammy. There's a picture. Is that what you've just done?
Yes.
Was it one you did earlier?
The envelope tool for the card for John.
Ah, lovely. Yes. Yeah. Lovely. Well, we can give that to John if that's for John. Playing blessing. There's a song, isn't it, that says, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And there's a place called Faldy Brennan. Now, I think, Susan, you've been there, haven't you?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Somewhere near?
I've been in the training, but I've not actually been to that.
Oh, okay. Faldy Brennan is a house of prayer where they've done exactly what I'm talking about. And they started off by just praying for their street or their neighbourhood. And they've been doing it regularly. And they've reported huge blessings. The lambs in the area are starting to have, well, this was about 12 years ago. The lambs were super fertile. They were having twins. Occult practices, magic practitioners found that they just couldn't do their stuff in the area. Drug dealers, I don't know that I've got any drug dealers in John Herring Crescent, but those of you who live in the centre of town might, they stopped meeting. It didn't happen any longer. And people who are not yet Christians turned up because they just got the sense that they wanted to knock on the door. So who gave them that sense? That would be God. And physical healings, and they have training days. And Susan's been, was that the one you came back full of laughter? From no, that was another one. Well, training days are good because so Faldy Brennan, and they've written a book about it called Grace Outpouring, and some of you might have seen that book. So that just started small and became a great house where people come and are enormously blessed. What else? Actually, I wanted to go back. What else? The question mark. I know, perhaps I won't. It's a bit too bad. But being friendly, I found a good quote about that. I'm friends with 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. I think Matthew would like that one. Now, praying. Pray the way God made you. He's made us all different. We don't all pray with Christine's kind of intimate kind of language. Some people find it harder to pray out loud. We all have ways of relating to God. And many years ago in this church, we looked at a book called Sacred Pathways. And for me, it was very encouraging because it showed that you can divide people up. It's not about dividing people, it's about uniting people. But you can find nine categories of people according to the way we relate to God, or find that certain aspects of life help us to relate to God best. All different. So, sorry, the text is not very large, but the naturalist, that's not the ones who take off their clothes. Naturist. But it's those who love God out of doors. The ones who go for a walk, or forests, or meadows, or trees, or beaches, or whatever, and they sense God's presence there and pray. There's what's called the sensate, loving God with the senses, those who love seeing things that are beautiful, or hearing things that are beautiful, or touching or smelling things that are beautiful that remind them of God. Anyone connect with that? Actually, hands up. Who loves God out of doors? Who finds that that helps? And actually, you don't have to choose one. You can choose several, because we're all loving mixes. Loving God with the senses, the artists among us and the musicians and all sorts. Third is traditionalist. Loving God through ritual and symbol. Now, we don't do rituals and symbols in our church, do we? Because we're non-conformists. Oh, yes, we do. And we do it unconsciously, too, because we fall into rituals and habits, and that is okay. And there are rituals that have been done for 2,000 years, nearly, and they have enormous value to people. They remind us of our heritage. The communion service is a ritual and a symbol. Baptism is a ritual and a symbol, and it's also much more. The cross, the wooden cross. So who likes symbols and rituals and doing the same thing again and again and again? Ascetic, those who love God in solitude and simplicity. Just like to strip away everything that's not necessary and be very simple. Don't want these lavish things, but just simplicity, just me and God in a quiet place. Anyone like that sort of quietness? Yeah. Activist, loving God through confrontation. These are the people that make me feel very uncomfortable. They challenge me about, you know, why am I not objecting about this, or signing a petition about this, or why am I such a coward that I'm not preaching about such and such? But God loves and he uses activists. Anyone an activist among us? Sometimes I think Crispin is a bit of an activist, because he challenges people to do things. This is the compliment, you know. He sort of, no.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I do hope you all do the same to me.
So there's an invitation. Do the same back to Crispin. Okay, caregiver. Some people love God. They can't talk much, but they care and they show love. And they visit people and they make cakes and listen to someone who's lonely, or listen out for someone and then go and visit them. And that sort of stuff, caregivers. Any caregivers here? Nick's got his caregiver here today. So we welcome Nick's caregiver. There's the enthusiasts who love God with mystery and celebration. They like big, huge celebrations. You know, the spring harvest kind of things. There's the contemplative, loving God through adoration. There's Christine and the intimacy. And then there's the intellectual, loving God with the mind. If I had a brain, I'd be one of those. We like to read and study and compare and analyze and yeah. So, pray the way God made you, in the place God made you. Find out who you are, spiritual pathways. Find out who God is. Well, the whole Bible is full of telling us who God is and what he's like, but Psalm 145 has been highlighted. These are passages that were mentioned in the paperwork. Book of Hosea, I added that one because God presents himself as a lover. Book of Luke chapter 8, just a few cameos of Jesus at work. And Colossians chapter 1, which is the big picture of how Jesus is the one who was there before the world was even created. And he's the centre of everything. Build a rhythm. You can pray by yourself, you can pray with others. You can pray regularly, or you can pray when the moment comes, preferably both. And you can pray with the mind, using words you know, or you can pray with the spirit, using words you don't know. Build a rhythm. Street pastors. Anyone heard of street pastors? I'm permitted to wear my uniform when I'm with a team on the street, and if I'm representing street pastors at a place. And someone, I went to Gorse Hill Baptist last Sunday, I think someone told me that I didn't look so good wearing a hat. Or it might have been JD Church that I went to 2 weeks ago.
But,
there we are. So, street pastors, yeah, here we are. The benefits, enormous, that the police just love the street pastors. I mean, you've heard this presentation. Crime goes down by one third when street pastors are patrolling. And we care for people. There's a huge need in Swindon, by the way. And we're finding it hard to recruit. Patricia is training to be a street pastor. And so we pray for Patricia. And And I visited two churches. Patricia came to Gorse Hill Baptist Church last Sunday. But we do need people to sign up and go through the training, because at the moment we can only do one patrol per month, or sometimes two in a month. We'd like to do a patrol every Friday and every Saturday, but we don't just have enough numbers for that. And also for prayer pastors. Christine is a prayer pastor. When I'm out on the streets, she's praying by Zoom with a group of four or five other people. And we don't seem to see much action. I blame Christine for that.
Christine will bounce that straight back.
The opportunity is there, and the satisfaction comes. It's enormous. When we're walking around, I'm just sensing that we're bringing calm, we're bringing peace, we're looking out for people who may need a kind word or help to get home, or a pair of flip-flops because they've lost their shoes. Or actually, one of the big things we do is picking up cans and bottles. 40 or 50 we pick up in one night. We compete among ourselves to see who can pick up the most. Or brushing up broken glass if there's been something smashed. Street pastors. And there's prayer walking. Actually, I forgot to mention, do you know Brother Lawrence? Have you heard of Brother Lawrence? His way of being with God, practicing the presence of God, especially while washing dishes. An old engineer was explaining that he has an occupation, aquathermal treatment of ceramics, aluminium and steel under a constrained environment. It turned out he was washing dishes with hot water under his wife's supervision. Can't think how that would produce any constraint, but there we are. Oh, and I've got a list of some unknown, unheralded members of a particular group of people, and I want you to know that each of you is special. King Arthur had a number of unknown knights. We've heard of Sir Lancelot and Sir Galahad. There was Sir Face, the devastatingly handsome but disappointingly shallow knight. Surface. Sir Pass, Arthur's best knight of all. Sir Port, a great help to all the other knights. Circulation, a knight who got around, especially popular at parties. Surprise, the knight who could always be relied on to do the unexpected. Survey, a watchful knight. Circuitous, a knight who approached his duties in a roundabout way. Surpose, a knight who stands by wild predictions. Circumvent, the evasive knight. Serene, a calm and cheerful knight. Suspicious, a paranoid knight. Surreal, a vague and insubstantial knight. Circumstances, a knight whose fault it never was. Circumference, invented the round table. Surplus, that extra knight. Circumference, another one, the obese knight. So, yes. Prayer walking. It's a good thing. Some of us do prayer walks. I've done some prayer walks with John Cheek on our streets, and over the years, we've done a number of prayer walks. Here are some tips for prayer walking as we come to the close. What is God bringing to your attention as you prayer walk? Ask the Lord to reveal to you his heart for this area. Who and what are you passing as you walk? Pray for God's blessing in the life of each person and on each of the homes. What passages of scripture come to mind as you walk? And you can pray those scriptures over the house. If Jesus was physically walking beside you now, what would you say to him? If you're praying with children, invite them to look at the street with Jesus' eyes. That would be an interesting thing to do, wouldn't it? Children have a perspective which we sometimes completely miss. And what are the prayer needs in this area? Now, this is from somewhere called Arise Sheffield, which I believe is a city somewhere in the north of England. Actually, I have visited Sheffield, and I have visited the cathedral. It's quite small, but quite nice.
So,
what's that?
Ely.
Yeah, Ely is a bit more impressive. Steely. Oh, it's Sheffield is very steely, yes. You have to steel yourself to go there. Yes. And if you don't know how to bless, there's the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I think we'll be singing that at the end. Prayer walking tips. So let's pray for our neighbours. I'm going to finish up by getting us to pray this together. And Reverend Lynn Green was the General Secretary of the Baptist Union some years ago. So for those of you who had died in the wool Baptists, we're going back to our roots and our...
I've been told that she still is.
Still is. Okay. It shows how up-to-date I am with the Baptist Union, doesn't it?
You've got the wrong hat on, actually.
Okay. I should take my hat off. So let's pray. Loving Lord, we pray today for our neighbours and those who live in our communities. We pray a blessing over each person and every household, and we ask that each one will be filled with your peace and experience fullness of life. Where there is goodness and abundance, we pray for a spirit of gratitude and joy. Where there is pain and challenge, we pray that there would be an awareness of your presence with them in and through all things. We pray for ourselves, that we may be neighbours who are beacons of hope, embodying and sharing your light, life and love through the faithful daily witness of our discipleship. Please, Lord, would you stir up in us a deeper desire to bless and serve and pray for our neighbours, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may see with your eyes and respond with your love and grace. We long for you to be lifted up and glorified in our lives and our communities today. Amen. So there's a few thoughts about loving our neighbours, and consider maybe just even praying a little bit more for the streets where we live, and seeing what comes of it. Neighbourhood Prayer Network, just a reminder, neighbourhoodprayer.net.